The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national
leaders. AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio broadcast itself. However, people from all over the USA tune in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You can also get it on Alexa by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And also, I want to tell you that we have a lot of issues we're going to discuss today. And joining us today is Mark Andel and Bruce Bassett Powell. Larkin Conley is on a special assignment today, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I want to always invite you to send me your comments and suggestions. Send them to michael@americanworkersradio.com. And I want to tell you, that gives me a lot of ideas. It lets me know what's happening around, and I'm seeing and hearing from a lot of new people. And I think I'm going to invite them to come on and let us know what's going on. You know, this is something that's been happening for a little bit now, and people are beginning to tell me things which I have not been very knowledgeable of, and that is to hold America's leaders accountable for what they allow to happen in the United States of America in the last 30 to 35 years. It's a very good question. I don't know, Mark, were you at a Dingus Day celebration there in Buffalo, New York?
How you doing, Mike? And I think Bruce is on. Henry, thank you for all you do. You know, we celebrated, we had a great Easter, and I hope you guys too. You know, we had a lot of Dingus Day celebrations. I did not go to a function, but I had many friends, Mike, that did and enjoyed themselves. It was a beautiful day here up in Buffalo. We only get a few, so the weather had broke a little bit. But, yeah, a lot of people celebrated, Mike.
They had a nice, I understand you also had a very nice parade, the Dingus Day
yes.
parade, and the pubs were filled up till 11 o'clock at night, just like they are in Philadelphia area. We partied very, very hardy. The Polish dancers went berserk, and the people sang, and oh, the disc jockeys and the bands and all. It was absolutely wonderful. And just people are saying, what is Dingus Day all about? And I met some of our American Workers Radio supporters up there. Dingus Day is a Polish holiday, the day after Easter. And what that's supposed to be is after 40 days of fast and abstinence and trying to be your best. Easter's the celebration. And then on Monday, it's a Polish holiday for everybody to have a good time, go out, enjoy everybody's company. And also, that's why they throw the water, you know, the little sprinklings of water, because it's a day of purification. So people really enjoy that celebration. I did. And all the Polish dance groups and the partiers, and they had a wonderful menu. And I'm glad that I was so pleased, because a lot of people told me things about our broadcast, about yourself, and about Larkin and Bruce and the many schools that are now starting to open that are promoting the trades. But it's not in our public schools. They're saying that a number of the Gen Z people are deciding that they have a better life prepared for them by getting into the trades like plumbing, heating, welding, air conditioning, and taking a second look at college. That's very interesting. Now, some of the people that were born, these are the people born between 1995 and 2013, who are now really filling all of the trade schools up. I'm really glad to hear that. In fact, I saw a promo, and someone contacted me about that promo, and it was the unions in the Philadelphia area looking for apprentices, people that they could start with and, you know, train them in their way of doing things, their professionalism, their mark of quality. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I had a good character stop me, Mark, and they said, you know, there's a bunch of people on this radio broadcast out of Philadelphia always promoting trades in the schools. I said, yep. I said, I think I know some of those people. The guy did not know me for anything. And he said, it's working because our school is filled up 2 sessions a day. And I didn't realize how good this is. The Gen Zers are going for, some of them are 8 and 9 month programs, but they come out as certified people. Are you having that in your area of Buffalo, Mark?
Absolutely. You know, we're seeing, like I talked about, that Northland Training Center, guys, you know, which I became a sponsor of, which is in the dead center of Buffalo, and it's affiliated with Alfred Tech here, and it's a 2-year degree. They teach electrical machining. They got another mechanic division that helps you with anything, you know, that's automation. And then they got the welding. But we're having results. You know, we're seeing it's 1 out of 10. Like, you get one that has the good soft skills, the work ethic. You got to, you know, that's my advice to everybody listening. You just got to keep, you know, interviewing and pluck them ones that have want, have care, and that want to really learn something and earn something, Mike. And we're finding them. It's slow. But there's a few out there as this skilled trade shortage really gets well known out there, Mike.
You know, this new program, I'll try to get the exact email address for that, and maybe people can check it out for themselves. They told me that last week they enjoyed the words of wisdom from Professor Michael Bussler. As you know, he's the professor of finance there at Stockton University in Galloway, New Jersey. And he always gives us a lot of words of wisdom. And he also is saying that many younger people are focusing on the trades because they see that it's a good job, a well-paying job, well-respected job. Now, I had a situation that happened on Easter Sunday. There was a gentleman. I went to a Polish church, and there was a gentleman. He was with his family. He married a Polish woman, and he's from India. And he said to me, we know of you very well. And he said, I came to this country 10 years ago as an electronic specialist, and I love America. And I thought to myself, oh, my God. What a wonderful, wonderful, you know, person to meet. I've seen him before, but he was just extremely proud. And, you know, he was sitting there with his 3 kids. Probably they were 7, 5, and 3 years old. And I thought to myself, well, wonderful. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing to come across. And the Easter holidays, of course, people had a lot of good times with family and friends, and I hope that they helped us promote the Buy American Made campaign during the holidays, because I tell people everywhere I go at this particular Dingo's Day celebration that I went to, a guy was telling me, he said, you know, my son is doing this now. You know, he thinks what you guys are talking about is the wave of the future, and he's now going to be an electronic specialist. And his goal is that he would like to manage, not only just be an electrician, but he likes to, you know, get things in order and, you know, make sure that everything is done perfectly. There's a gentleman across the street from the cultural center. He's a young guy, 30 years old. They're putting in a new bell across from the Polish Center on Walnut Street. You were there, Mark. You know where I'm talking about. And he is about 30 years old. This guy is so focused on making sure that that project is perfect. I can't respect him enough. And everybody, he tells me too, today we have to support America and American workers, because all of us are seeing, whether you're 30, 50, or 90, all of us are experiencing an unbelievable cost of living crisis in our great country. And many people agree with all of us that it was created by the gas and energy crisis caused by the presidential order in January of 2021. Period. People say, how could inflation have gone up so much? It's not possible that we all of a sudden it went up so much. Mark, you as a businessman, how are you going to be able to tolerate this for how long? You know, I can be, you know, sometimes some little bit talkative about these things. And when I go to give some testimony or something, I let it all hang out. But really, when these political people sit there and look like they have no idea what's going on in the day-to-day world, I tell them they should be out more. Now, I do have a few council people who are unbelievable, people who come to the communities, who go and speak to the groups, who are always on the road. And there are others, you don't know who they are, and nobody else in their district knows who they are. So something has to be done. We have to hold some of these people accountable for what's happening everywhere in America. Our businesses can no longer be pushed to the side. Mark, has anyone ever approached you, Mark, about selling your business?
You know, through the years, you get them letters, you get the emails, you never know which one's real. You know, it's funny you bring this up with, you know, we've talked about for 4 years now, it's a true 4 years. You know, it was March of 2020 when the COVID hit. 2019 was a very decent year. So we've lived 4 years of tough, really hell for a lot of businesses.
Yes.
You know, and when you talk about expenses going up 30%, my electric bill or my plant four, which is in Rochester, that's gas and electric combined, but that's 52% for them two combined. I always tell everybody nobody could like what's going on. But, you know, you talk about these expenses, and I've got a tight team here. We meet every week on it. But it's scary times, Mike. It's not, you know, people have been through tough times. I've been through tough times. We've got to fight the fight. But it's money's coming in slow. You know, good people, good customers paying very slow, and that affects me. It's a domino effect, Mike. And, you know, you're dragging, you know, the money out, and you've got to watch. It's just disposable income's down. You know, if it's butter at, you know, $6 a pound, or if it's eggs at $3 to $4 for a dozen. My mother's 86 just told me she could complain about the egg prices this morning, Mike. You know, but everybody's affected one way or another, and this is real. You know, when I say nobody can like what's going on, you got to look where gas is, fuel is. New York's a little crazy right now, too, the governor. There's things they're coming up with, tax on this, tax on that. It's harder. There's more regulation, Mike, so it makes it harder. I mean, I believe in the right regulation, but nothing's really to help the business in these tougher times. You know, I always speak highly of the SBA and different things they've had with the PPP and, you know, EIDL and the employee retention credit checks, which are on hold. That's a whole other story, them employee retention credit checks. There was so much fraud, Mike, in that system. The IRS put a moratorium out last September, shut them off until they figure out, you know, all the fraud and whatnot. So many, many things we could talk about, but very tough times, and you take one day at a time, Mike, and I'm excited. It's the second quarter of the year. Spring is trying to get out in Buffalo here. We got a little snow maybe coming this week yet, but it should peak out again. But we're excited it's the second quarter because we got to get people going. One thing I do want to talk about, Mike, is we got a big day coming up. It's April 8th, this coming Monday. It's a solar eclipse day. My Dorothy, about 6-8 months ago, brought up, it's going to be a big event, and I thought she was a little crazy, and she told me the other day, you thought I was crazy, and I said, yes, I did. But, Mike, we got a million-plus people coming to Buffalo, because from Texas to Buffalo, right through our backyard, is the solar eclipse, you know, yep. Viewing. So we became a viewing station. We got a few, you know, food truck, Ricky Lee is going to sing, a wine truck, but we sold 1,000 pair of glasses. But the hotels are all sold out. People are going to fly into the airport, go out in the parking lot, look up for 3 minutes, and go try to get back on a plane. They're worried about congestion. It's getting a little crazy around here, but causing traffic. People want to see it, Mike.
This is what it's all about. I want to tell you something. You know what? They did a good job selling the eclipse and making sure that everybody and their grandmother wanted to see it. Now, in our area, it's supposed to be taking place sometime early afternoon. Now you're in the same time zone as we are.
Yeah, so we're about 3:30.
So 3:30-ish. So that's what it's going to be, and that's going to be like 40 minutes or so to watch the.
Yeah, so,
the
the chances of it being cloudy in Buffalo are pretty good, but it's supposed to go dark. This is a full eclipse, which I've seen a partial before. Full eclipse is supposed to be dark for a minute to 3 minutes. So a lot of, you know, people will pull over their cars, the traffic. My Dorothy's went to special meetings. I talked to the town supervisor. There's disaster meetings. A lot of the schools closed. A lot of businesses closed. You know, I'm going to give my team, time to go see it. Very interesting. But it really is getting big. All the hotels are sold out. Now, some people had the hotels booked, and then the hotel said, I can get $1,000 a room. So a lot of craziness, Mike.
That's okay, Mark. sometimes you have to be a businessman. This is a once in a long time operation. How long? When's the next? Did you ever have an eclipse party in Buffalo before?
Yeah, no, we had a partial eclipse, but I remember walking out, taking a welding helmet and look at it, but I do remember, but it was a partial eclipse probably 20 years ago or so. This one comes around, once a century or whatnot, I think the next one's in 20, 40 years. So, people are coming in. I got a friend that 8 relatives called from around the country coming in. So they're really flying in for it. It's amazing in a way, but, people like to do what they like to do.
Every time I hear about an eclipse, all I want to do is go back in time in a time machine and tell everybody, give me all your money or I'll block out the sun.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting for a darkness for a minute so or two.
It's going to be, I remember the last eclipse. Oh, yeah, I remember that very good. And you know what?
Yeah.
Even we're watching all these things going on, and I really am very pleased to hear that the schools are going out of their way to institute not the public schools, but new programs, and the unions are promoting more and more of their own programs so that they could replace the people who are retiring. No one thought of that 20 years ago, that we're going to be at a great shortage. And in fact, I continue to hear how they're bringing people over from other countries who have specialties in electronics and stuff like that to do. In fact, Henry and I know a gentleman who fixes computers and stuff like that. That family came here, and they are just perfection, very focused, just cannot ask them, about something that they don't know. And then there's another gentleman that I work with that was fixing the Xerox machine type stuff. And just perfect. But where are our own American people who could do these kinds of jobs? There's a lot of things that we have to think. We have Americans who are out there, eager beavers, trying to do their best, living paycheck to paycheck, and watching inflation now gobbling up their money, and there's no reason for it, no reasonable reason whatsoever. Yet leadership in Washington is continuing to say, oh, well, things are getting better. Well, when I heard that, I said to this one elected person, I said, are you saying now that you recognize that things went off the rails in the last few years? He said, well, it was just one of those things that happens every once in a while, the major inflation. I said, now look, Joe, you and I know very, very well that this particular situation was caused by the Biden executive order. And there's no doubt about it. Let's not dance around. And right away they go, well, I have to, look to my leadership for them to say something. Now, I'm a little angry with the people in Washington, because this has hurt American workers unbelievable. Now, what they tell me, that they did send a special order to the Senate a long, long time ago when Biden first signed this executive order. They send it, and it never moved one inch in the Senate. Now, as I said this probably 2 years ago, why didn't we know about it? We could have gone on a major campaign going after the senators. And by the way, this is a major election year. Mark, every congressman in New York, in your area, in the New York City, everybody's up for re-election. This should be an issue that we should be allowed to discuss and really put on a table to get it resolved once and for all. We want the Keystone Pipeline back to where it was. We want energy independence back to where it was. They worked for 20 years trying to get to the energy independence level, and then somebody comes in with the stroke of the pen, just knocks it all out, and put all of us into unbelievable expense categories. Unbelievable. From fuel to electricity to deliveries, everything went up. For what reason? I asked Professor Bussler last week, is there a possibility of getting things back to where they were in the year 2020? And he said, if things got back where we were producing our own energy and followed the plan that was done some years ago, we could get our inflation down. And Mark, getting inflation down would be good for every one of the people that you buy products from, because you could get the cost down to where it was a few years ago. And they would feel better. That would make American-made products more competitive. Instead, it's making us less competitive, and the people in foreign countries do not get the kind of raises they're talking about they would like to see happening in America. These communist countries and all, they do nothing. They give the people what they were making 10 years ago, period. The only thing that changes is the product, when it's shipped to the United States, is now at the modern day price where we are getting the customer to pay over here. They make the money in the foreign country, and the foreign workers get little or nothing. How about we say hello to Bruce Bassett Powell? Bruce, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Are you going to be at the eclipse party?
Oh, we're not doing the eclipse. It's going to come right over here, but so is the rain. We've got they're forecasting clouds and rain all day on eclipse day.
Well, then, Bruce, what you do is you get yourself a few pair of glasses, go out there and sell those glasses by the hundreds. And, you know, you'll make out well. Just tell the people, even through the clouds, with the Bruce Bassett Powell glasses, you'll be able to see the eclipse.
Now, Bruce, sounds, is it a big deal down there? You know, like it is up here in Western New York?
Until everybody heard the weather forecast, it was a huge deal. I don't know. I mean, it's going to go right over our town.
Yeah, because it starts from where you are to me, really. You know, you to New York, right through.
But take pictures.
Yeah,
we'll do. I'll probably watch it on TV.
Well, that's what I heard yesterday, that one or two of the stations in the Philadelphia area were going to be focused on it, and it's going to be a great public relations thing, beautiful public relations thing. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing that and hearing that. And if somebody gets a good picture, you can send it to michael@americanworkersradio.com, and I'll really appreciate hearing from you. You know, Bruce, if elected leaders, you were here in America for some time, were speaking up loud and clear about ways to end this national nightmare with this inflation, I think that we would all respect them a lot more. But what I'm watching, you know, on TV and what I'm reading in the paper, the national nightmare continues because they want to talk the same old goofy politics, political battling, which give us no result and no better look for tomorrow's future here in the United States. That's what I can say. What do you see happening?
Well, I was hoping to have a chat with Professor Bussler last week about the issue of free trade. You know, the U.S. has some free trade agreements with lots of countries, and it's usually a good thing because we make products that people in other countries want to buy. Those products are made by Americans in American factories. And yes, we buy products from other countries. The UK has got a free trade agreement that began with during the Trump era, and it's still not fully signed, but it's going on here with the Biden administration. In the meantime, the UK has been making trade agreements with all sorts of states in the United States. Texas is one of them. Florida is another. And there's, Utah, Iowa. There's a whole bunch of states that are having their own trade agreements with the UK and other countries. That's a good thing. It's what makes the world go around. You know, not every country that we have free trade agreements with is communist. I don't know whether we have a real free trade agreement with China, for instance. Because if not, whatever they're shipping in here, they were paying tariffs on. I think that happened under the Trump administration.
Well, Bruce, have you done a lot of traveling in Europe?
Yes.
Because I, each time I went to Europe, I was there 9 times, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful place to be part of. I drove through many countries, and the thing that I was always amazed with is how the countries that had their products made there in that country, there was no tariff on there. They called it the value-added tax. Do they have the VAT tax in England too?
Oh, yeah. That is, that's a tax that's, if you make a hammer, the handle of the hammer has got, that you, when you buy the handles or whatever, they've got VAT on them, and the minute you send them off to another factory to have the metal heads put on, there's VAT on that. It's an add-on tax that goes on and on.
Now, is that in England, do they have a tax when it's coming from another country on products too?
Depends what the negotiations are. If it's USA, and I think they're going to complete this agreement at some point, there'll be no tariffs on any goods going from America to the UK or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it works. When I first started my business, a couple of years in, I went to Poland and we purchased some aluminum products from there. And we also bought some from Hungary. And all our European purchases were, we negotiated to come over with Polish ocean lines. They're a very good carrier, on time and very, very good. So, doing business with Europe is very, very good because it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what free trade's all about.
Well, Bruce, I can't agree with you more. Everything has to be a two-way street, just like that person and I were talking about. Every coin, it's two sides of every coin. The problem that we had in this great country of America is stating, going back about 30-plus years ago, is more and more of the corporations started to sell out our businesses to foreign customers. Now, one of the problems that I've seen, and I've been looking around, and I welcome somebody, if they know of such a broker, I'd love to talk to that person. Send me the information to Michael at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. There are brokers from other countries. They're looking in the United States to deal with companies. Maybe the people want to retire and they want to sell the brand name and they want to buy the product. The main thing is they say, well, they'll keep the product line in America also. That also is the concern, because their main purpose is to bring jobs to the countries that they represent. That's the main thing. And in many cases, within 2, 3, 4 years, that entire operation is moved overseas, and those places in America are vacant, knocked down, or turned into apartments or condos where those industries used to be. Now, I've been looking around. In fact, I asked a political person if they knew of a place. And Mark, if you know of any dealer like this, I'd love to talk to this person, because they have many people from foreign countries scouting America's businesses to see who wants to sell. And that, you know, whether they're representing China or any other country, this is their job, to bring people into the workforce in their country, bring them out of the rural areas and into the workforce. They are trying to modernize their country, which I think is a wonderful thing. But we can't forget about America, the place where we live. When I was at the Dingo's Day on Monday, I spoke to someone who also told me this, which I liked very much, that he told me his life story. I really didn't know the life story of this gentleman. I've known him for probably 30 years. When he came to this great country, his family was invited to come here from Poland because he had a particular skill needed in America, wanted in America, and he was invited to come here. He said, here I am 30 years later. I took over my parents' business, and they bought the business. Now I'm running the business. He said, but I was invited here. We were invited here. What's happening on our southern border is not fair to the American people, number one, and it's not fair to the people coming here. To see these people, when I drive even here in Philadelphia, in historic Philadelphia, people stop me if I'm taking a walk with some people or going, you know, shopping in the area. For somebody to stop me and say, I need money, and I ask them, where are you from? They only know one sentence. I need money. Please help. I need money. Please help. That's it. This is not what you bring people to any country for. This is not, it's insane to allow this to happen. I do not know why the 535 people elected that are in Washington, D.C., paid by our tax dollars to be there to represent our best interests, are not representing our best interest. We should be saying, we need people for this industry or that industry, bring over the families. Now, in South Philadelphia, where our organization was originally founded back in 1908, those people who came from Ireland, Poland, Germany, all those countries, they were invited to America. They were invited, and they brought their entire family to America, because the industries at that time during the Industrial Revolution needed adults to man the machines and other, you know, pack the stuff and ship the stuff. And so they couldn't bring just a man and leave the kids and the wife in the foreign country. So they brought over total families. And that's how it was when they came to Ellis Island or the Port of Baltimore or in all these other places, Canada and Boston, when they were coming. That's not what's happening now. Those poor souls are coming to this country and just being dropped. And they're being given our government tax dollars, and God knows what will be their future in 2 years or 5 years. Some of them, I even understand, want to leave America and go back to their foreign country because they didn't think that this is the way it was going to be in America. And by the way, I have to say this too. In speaking with some of the people who are helping these groups, they tell me, Michael, these people came here for jobs. They wanted to have what they heard so much about, and that was the American dream. I mean, Mark, you live in a very ethnic-y type area there. Majority of those people were invited to come to America.
Right. You know, and they want to contribute, and you're hitting a good side of this, Mike. You know, they need a process. They need a plan. I just don't feel there was any plan or process in place to handle the load at such a magnitude and so many people coming to give everyone a fair shot, right?
Yes. Now, they keep saying, and as you know, they keep saying, well, maybe it'll work out in 6 or 8 years. 6 or 8 years, what happens between now and 6 and 8 years? Some people saying, well, the population has dropped in America. We don't have enough kids being born and all. So maybe the immigrants will help, you know, fill the gaps. But we have a lot of people right now who are Americans who should be trained and on the job so that they can retire 20, 30 years from now and with dignity after having a good job skill and moving forward. We have to tell them the great news that we have to offer, the good news that will make you a better person. But it's not being promoted by anyone in Washington. At least I can't see it. And when I speak to those people in Washington, they have 50,000 ways of dancing away from addressing the issue. Now, as I said before, this year is a full election year in November. If you would like to know how to register to vote, no matter where you live, there is a register to vote link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. With all that's going on in the United States of America, I see that there is a lot of differences. People don't even care about voting because they say, no matter what happens, the people in Washington, mainly Washington, because this is national leadership does not control what happens in the cities and the local states. But the national leaders have a focus on what they're supposed to do to try to help businesses, not tax them to death, tax them out of America. What can they do to help them? Let them look at regulations that were put on by good-hearted people 10, 15, 20 years ago, which are actually unnecessary. Many of them are totally unnecessary and should be taken off. Mark, do you have some regulations on the things that you do in your welding industry and all that you feel could be, somewhat set back?
Yeah, you know, there's so many things in business when you're talking to business owners. And I just met a big grocery store owner that's a beautiful building they put up. There's three locally, about 70,000, 80,000 square foot. Regulations, there's good ones and bad ones, and there's too many, too much red tape, just holds you down. But I wanted to bring up this company I just met with. We're trying to get a store and store or a section in this bigger grocery store. And they were talking, Mike, which I thought was interesting. They opened last January, and their February was down last year. But they thought this February would be back up because they're a year in the game. They sell food, produce, meats, beautiful facility, a big greenhouse. But he said, I can't believe how we bottomed out in February. And I only bring that up because that's a test again to the recession, all the rapid inflation, product shortage, everything that ties in. They support farmers and local. It was interesting to find out for food he was really struggling. Beautiful facility, but he needs more traffic, and that's where we come in. Maybe we can attract more with the Made in America section in there. But it was odd that to me that someone selling food, because in the COVID and pandemic, grocery stores were open, they were essential, but he's having major troubles 1 year later. It's just not growing, and with the high expenses, he actually wished he would have never put up this facility in 2019. They did. If they would have known what was coming, Mike, not only, the COVID and then the administration change and things you just don't have any control over. I just think that's interesting. But if you add regulations like you're talking about, we don't need any more right now. We got to be free to go, do the right thing, be trusted as, clean, honest business owners.
Very good. And, I have to tell you this. I have to compliment the new governor. He's in there about 14 months now in Pennsylvania, Governor Shapiro. What he did is before, I don't know how it is in New York, before you had to go to each department in order to get a business started. You had to go to this department. Now they made a new thing with his under his request that you can make one contact. And with computerization and all, I can see that. One contact and a lot of that registering and the whole deal can be done in a short period of time. Not going office to office to try to reinvent the wheel, but actually able to try to get into the business. Another thing which I like is happening is a lot of businesses are taking a look at what is happening in the United States to see if they can be more competitive, which is what I really think is very important. Because, as I said earlier, there's a lot of countries that have headhunters. They call them headhunters. They're hunting for businesses that are looking to downsize or close up and sell out or whatever. And what their main purpose is, they want to produce the products that are presently now being made in America and not made in foreign countries, make them in foreign countries too. Now, that's wonderful that they're doing that. And that's, you know, that's what America is all about. But the thing is, how about our headhunters? Where are our headhunters in America trying to speak to someone who's looking to buy a business, looking to merge a business, looking to sell out? I don't understand why this is such a hidden process here in the United States of America. It doesn't make sense. The Department of Commerce, I've tried numerous times to get through and see what they're doing. And what they're doing is not looking out for the American worker or America's businesses. It's just, if you can stand up and survive standing up for so long without falling down, that's wonderful. That's the mentality that a lot of these people have. And unless businesses are looking to close up shop here in the United States and all, they really don't care. And if they do start to close down, there's nobody in government, no congressmen or senators make their way over to these businesses and say, wait a minute, I'd like to see this business stay here. It's an important staple of our community. It employs people. You know, what can we do to help you? Let us try to help you get to the right broker, realtor, whatever. There's none of that being done. None of that is being done.
That's another two-way street thing. The U.S. likes to set up companies overseas, and they do the same thing overseas as you're complaining that people do over here. They buy up companies in foreign parts. And the biggest example in the U.K. is Cadbury's, which was the greatest chocolate company in the world. I'm saying that because I'm British, but anyway, it was bought out by Kraft, and thousands of jobs were lost. They promised Parliament that they wouldn't have any layoffs of people, but they did anyway. They're now known, it's not Kraft anymore, it's Mondelez or something like that. And they've shipped out all the chocolate factories have gone to Poland and all sorts of companies in the European Union, and some here in Hershey's were taken over. They pretty much destroyed the whole of Cadbury's.
Well, this is what is crippling businesses. I don't see, Bruce, I don't really see any kind of group that's trying to share business ventures with the places that have the ventures to offer. In other words, if you were from England or Poland or United States and you wanted to open up a division in another country, that doesn't mean you should close up your division, your operation, right, in the individual company, country that it came from. But that seems to be the goal. And they're looking to take everything possible out of the United States, even more now with inflation, because they're seeing that the cost coming from the foreign country, Mark, this is interesting, is going to be much less because their rates haven't gone up that much, and they'll make more profit in the United States and get the product, this, you know, as it was, and yet it be sold in the United States at the new inflated product price.
Well, and on the plus side, you know, Ford Motor Corporation is the largest manufacturer of cars in the United Kingdom. And it's a huge business, and that they've brought jobs there. I mean, you know, it's all, again, my two-way street thing. They've got jobs. There's about four factories that make cars there.
Now, Bruce, I have a question. Where are those cars sold that Ford is now making in England?
Mostly in the UK.
Mostly in the UK. So what they did is they opened up a division in another country, which would save them shipping costs from wherever, you know, from United States.
Ford's been in the UK since 1909 or something silly like that. So they've been there a long time. And they've made, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs over the years. There's a plant in Liverpool and a plant in Dagenham, just outside London. And that's where half the cars in England come from.
Now, Bruce, I have a question. Are they also experiencing a lot of general operation costs in England?
Yes. And the inflation is just as bad in England, I hear. And people are whining out of it. The Conservative government is looking at a big tumble in the next election. So we'll see what that happens.
Well, this here do you feel that a lot of the problems that are caused by the gas and energy prices in Europe too?
But it's usually because of manipulation by the Gulf states that are causing the problems, not... we've got gas pipelines all over UK and all over Europe, but it's supply problems that are causing the interest rates to go up.
I know, because I hear that in certain countries they're very dependent upon the Russian fuel lines.
Well, they've cut all that off because of the Ukraine war.
Yes, I hear this, and that's added to the inflation in their country. In America, stopping our Keystone Pipeline and all the drilling on public lands and all that has hurt our process here in the United States. And I would like to really see, if this was possible, it's for the benefit of American workers and to get America back to being a better competitive place. That is to have people in Washington, people on the state levels, all 50 states should start speaking up in a more public forum to talk about what are we going to do. Mark, do you see anybody doing anything like that in Buffalo, New York?
No, not as much. I used to have a few, Mike, come to the store always, you know, different politicians, and they'd support, and sometimes they just wanted a picture with me. You know, I always told them, hey, they'd call, can I come to your store? I said, everybody's welcome at the store. We've had some good gentlemen, some bowed out of politics, though, that I really liked. They don't like, you know, basically said it's hard to get anything done. And you hate to hear that, Mike, because they represent us. And there were some really good guys, I won't mention names, up here in the last couple of years that actually, you know, bowed up and gave up politics. And that's, you know, these guys were in there for a long time, but they're tired of all the red tape and nothing getting done. That's sad to hear.
Very sad. And I don't know what the answer is. Believe it or not, Mark, I could see you going to Washington to give more reasonable testimony than I hear. I do watch a few stations from Washington just to see what the testimony is being given. And some of the people up there speaking are very cautious about every word they say. And that's not good, because it gives no one an opportunity to watch C-SPAN or whatever and see a real discussion. Everything is sort of window dressing just to put it on the record that we did have this hearing, but when it was looked at in the end, nothing was really accomplished. And that's a big thing. American workers need somebody to really represent America. And they need somebody to speak about what is happening with us shipping our jobs overseas. And why can't we open up more competitive industries in the United States of the industries that left America 20, 25, and 30 years ago? I mean, they're saying, well, they bought the brand name. Okay, so open it up under a new brand name. What do we need? That brand name, you start advertising and you get a new, you have a new product, and get that product line moving. I go into various stores and I look at the items on the shelves, and I do go out of my way to ask for American-made products. And people tell me, the store personnel, the cashiers, everybody says a lot of people are asking for American-made. They're making note of the fact that it should be made in America. In fact, coming up this weekend is National Small Business Weekend. I'm going to ask all of you listening, and I know that we have a large number of people who receive our radio broadcast through the email. Henry gets that out to you this afternoon, and you can listen to any of our rebroadcasts simply by going to Alexa American Workers Radio. Alexa American Workers Radio, and the most recent broadcast will come up. Spread that around, and I'm glad that people tell me I hear it. One person told me I may not hear it at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, but I may hear it Wednesday night or Friday or Saturday. I'll put it on when I'm doing something to hear what you guys are talking about, because I'm not hearing what you're talking about in most major portions of the media. If you notice, when you turn on the news, they give you 20 seconds of something. Even if it's a positive, they give you 20 seconds, 25 seconds, and it goes to the next piece of it. It's like filling time. They never help to educate people, and that's part of what we're trying to do on this. The headhunters have to be headhunting for our business to keep our people in business. And last week we mentioned something on the radio which people got a big charge out of. I liked it too. We talked about people been discussing the fact, some politicians and some of their staff people will tell me, well, Michael, the government owns this and the government owns that. Well, you know what I did? No one has ever done this, but I did it, and I thought to myself, the hell was it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you. In my testimony, I said, I'm sorry to tell you, government owns nothing. Zero. Government only manages City Hall, schools, whatever, from taxpayer dollars. Mark, you're a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. Bruce is a taxpayer. Henry's a taxpayer. And all of you listening are taxpayers. When a politician tells you this is what City Hall wants, City Hall can giveth and City Hall can taketh. Oh, no. That's not a fact. Whatever City Hall or anybody else, state, gives you comes from taxpayer dollars, which represents every person. The Capitol in Washington, D.C., that wasn't built by the politicians that fill the building. That was built by we, the taxpayers, our families from years ago who gave the money toward that. Presently, our people are being, you know, really hit badly with this inflation. And people are telling me, I can't agree more. I'm starting to tell the politicians, this person is never calling me back. They work for me. I should hear from them. I should get a call back right from the politician, not from a secretary or whatever. I want to hear directly from so-and-so, because I'm a taxpayer and I'm helping to pay their salary and your salary as well. People have to become more vocal about what you believe in. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Absolutely. They should. I mean, they've got to work hard. They've got to answer our questions. It's like you can have a good doctor or a bad doctor. You know, they can answer your calls right away or your portals, but they've got to answer you. There's got to be good communication, and they've got to know what's going on. Like, I live and breathe the small business. You know that, Mike and Bruce, and, you know, they need to ask me questions. What's going on out there? They need to contribute, but when they win, they got to get to work.
Well, that's you brought up a very good subject. Someone said to me, Michael, as soon as the November election is over, we will not see anybody for 6 months. They'll be saying they're working on their new agendas and everything else. They will not come out to any community events. You will not see them, period. I said, well, if you need them to come to a community event, you call every day until you get a positive answer. No more excuses. That's where we got, you know, hurt deeply in the United States. We allow too many excuses to continue to be just, oh, he's so busy, she's so busy, we have so many things going on. What are those things? Are they things that are benefiting American workers, the American taxpayer? I want to know. I want those trades restored back in all of our high schools, because the boys and girls need to graduate with some sort of level of skill so they can replace many of the people who are out there. And with more people able to join the workforce, we will be able to see more and more good things happening in the United States as businesses decide, let's stay here in the USA, or let's open in the USA, put a new brand name on it, and let's go. And I want you all to look at Mark Handel's American Made in America store. A link, it's right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you can also see a list where it says, listen to past broadcasts, listen live, listen to pass or watch and read various commentaries. You can listen to them and read them as well. But do spread the word. American workers need all of us, and American businesses need us. Remember, this first weekend of April again is National Small Business Weekend. Go out and support your local businesses, and of course, speak up about American made. Mark, Bruce, Henry, everybody listening, spread the word. We love you. Thank you. God bless. Have a wonderful one.